the game.
Happy Thursday. Coming up, we'll talk with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll get all his thoughts about SEC spring meetings and what's going down. Mike, did you see where Greg Sankey basically came out and said, SEC, we're still the strongest football league by far. The SEC hasn't won the national championship in 3 years. And, look, I know it was dominant. There was a 15-year period, right, Mike, where it's why we are, the talk about the SEC the way we do. But I can't say that after these last 3 years, and I'm not. None of my teams have played in the national championship game.
Right.
And we haven't won one. I'm just, and Sankey, again, I felt like, you tell me, all week he's kind of pulling out, he's pounding his chest all week. We'll leave. I mean, you want to mess with the SEC? We'll be a league of our own. I mean, everything he was saying this week.
And that just seems ridiculous. I mean, that's just, okay, so we're going to crown our own, the Southeastern champion will be the,
it's ridiculous.
I mean, the champion of the part of the country. It just, it doesn't fly. And ESPN's like, what are you talking about? I mean, and the thing, he's put out a lot of fires this week. He had coaches saying that they were sold on a 9-game playoff format because it would be 16, and now we're going to stick at 12. Maybe jump to 24. Then you had the Arkansas thing yesterday where their AD comes out going, scheduling's ridiculous. ESPN is killing us because they've got to play in Utah at 9 o'clock at night. And then they got to zip all the way back and basically a 6-day work week to get ready for Athens and the Dogs. So he's got a lot of stuff. And it just sounded like, and John Summerall, who just come to the conference basically saying that, it seems like these guys, sold a bill of goods. It's like, what? So, he doesn't really seem like he's got the support of the I don't know. It's certainly everybody, all this, I say is all the ships going in the same direction. And you need this. You want to have solidarity if you're going toe-to-toe with seemingly the Big Ten.
Yeah. There was, and just to give you guys an idea, I mean, because we live here, we live in it, and obviously it's all about the SEC, but 16 of the 17 national championships, when you go back from 06 to 2022, the only year that didn't include an SEC team was 2014. So he's not lying. We have been right. The dominant conference. But the reality is right now, the Big Ten is 4-0, Mike, versus SEC over the past three seasons in head-to-head college football playoff action.
Indiana humiliated Alabama, right? Last time I checked, that happened.
It happened.
I told the day I was just up in Indy for the 500, so I'm in the heart of Hoosier country, and they're chirping. Look, to the victor go the spoils. That's what they can chirp all they want. We can all joke around about, well, see if it's sustainable. Who gives a crap? Georgia fans are starting to look around like, well, it's been 3 years since we won a national championship. They got spoiled, and basically the ground has shifted underneath you. Kirby is kind of holding on to an older business model. We'll talk about it with Mike Griffith coming up at 4. But, it's funny because everyone's saying, oh, SEC finally dropping their patty cakes. Well, yeah, they're patty cake the week before their big rivalry game schedule. The Big Ten, once Michigan plays Oklahoma and Ohio State plays Texas this year, they go back to what they've always done across the board, like Indiana. Their out-of-conference is insanely ridiculously low-rated. So, it's all MAC schools and directional schools, and unfortunately that's going to be the path for the SEC as well.
Yeah, man. I think, again, they're going to come to some resolution with what the exact number is going to be. Everybody will be happy. It's going to be, Mike, either 16 or 24. I don't think it's going to be 18 and there'll be some kind of compromise. I do think that the bigger number ultimately is going to win out, but they'll come to the right compromise. I just feel like this is an opportunity this week with the meetings going on and the coaches speaking, Mike, for everybody to just kind of pound their chest a little bit and say, hey,
right,
and this is what we believe in. This is what I think. And you let it out there, and then you let people talk about it, and I think that's what Sankey's doing. But I just thought that whole thing about, SEC is still the best league by far.
Well, like I said, you got to be on top of the mountain. I mean, it's we Clemson. Look what Clemson's been dealing with.
Yep.
It sort of became a birthright for them. They started acting like Alabama fans, and all of a sudden, whoa, Dabo loses his elite, his top of the world assistants, and all of a sudden the results aren't the same. Not to mention dragging his feet with the portal, and now they're in it. So you've really got to adapt. Now, look, can Kirk Cignetti keep this going? Right now, I think you and I talked about it, the Indiana recruiting for next year. Is it like 40th? It varies, guys, from Rivals 24/7, but it's not in the top 25. Georgia's at 16. That's got people going, what? So if you're going to live by that transfer portal sword, you die by it. See Mike Norvell at FSU.
Yeah. The thing is, if you're going to live that way, Mike, you better get the right quarterback every year.
Right.
And that's the gamble.
And if you don't have that, you're dead.
You're dead.
And FSU has not had that since they never had that, honestly, since the portal shenanigans started.
And that's the thing that Cignetti got right, right? He got the Mendoza kid. We now know he had other options and all that stuff. But then you find out Mark Cuban was paying him a little extra, and it paid off.
Right.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, Texas Tech, their quarterback, they're gonna sue to get the money back from him. They're going to pay him $6 million. He already owes Cincinnati boosters $1 million, apparently. That kid's going to be in court. You know, once he gets done with his gambling rehab, he's going to be in court, seemingly, for the next 3 years.
Hey, man, tonight we get Game 6. It's a must-win for the Spurs. It's a closeout game for OKC. It's on Peacock, Mike. OKC is favored, or should I say the Spurs are favored by 3.5 points, if you're into those kinds of things. I think, and I said to you today, look, if I'm OKC, I don't want a Game 7. I don't even care if it's on my home floor. This Wimby thing is so unpredictable.
Right.
He could have 50. I mean, I don't know even if I want to try to deal with that. I approach this as we got to win tonight. And not like, hey, we're going to go back home and win this. Because sometimes I think teams have done that, Mike, where you just feel like you have an advantage. Okay, they'll win the night. The momentum will be in their corner, and then we'll go home and win. I'm okay, see, I'm trying to finish this thing tonight. The problem is the Spurs, every time they get home, man, they get a boost. And Wimby, right, coming off the whole I didn't speak to the media thing, who knows what you're going to get tonight? Maybe he's super motivated and comes out and has that first quarter like he did in game four.
Well, the conversation apparently with Greg Popovich with him about, you know, here's what you got to do. You and I said it all day yesterday. Stop shooting all those threes, especially if they're not dropping. You know, if I'm the Spurs, I get Wemby in the paint and I get him to the free throw line because the refs are not going to allow the Thunder to mug him at home.
That's right.
Right?
That's
and
right.
I don't think they will. I think, you know, it's the NBA. You know, and by the way, you see in Adam Silver, they're going to go to AI.
Yeah,
you see this next year?
It's nuts.
So, look, one thing we know, the reviews take forever. Baseball's got the, you know, the balls and strikes down to, like, I got to give them credit. The technology is working really well. The NBA just stops the game in its tracks, and it takes forever. So they're saying that AI is going to be able to judge it in real time, and you'll know. All right. Second time I made that. So we'll see about that. But, yeah, but tonight – it was what, Thunder 127-114, and they basically led from start to finish. Never really felt threatened, I thought, in Game 5.
I didn't either.
And now I just think that the Spurs have got to get Wemby in the paint, period.
It's going to be interesting. By the way, that'll be the criticism if
right.
they do lose. And let's just say tonight he has a, you know, because here's the deal. He had 20 in the last game, but it was a quiet 20, right?
Right.
12 of those 20 points were free throws. If he has another similar kind of game tonight where he's not aggressive, Mike, and then he's not in the paint, that's going to be the criticism of Mitch Johnson, the head coach, that, you know what, you had arguably the best player in the series, and you didn't use him the right way.
And I understand the spacing before you go Rick Camel on me. No! You know, it's just, if you have, you want Wemby to draw the defenders out to the perimeter, and then Stephon Castle's got, then he's got, the guys like that have the lane to get to the paint. But there's, tell me, you two things can't work at the same time with Wemby getting to the line?
What'd you want to add, Dave?
Oh, no, I was going to say he's also got to step up defensively, too. I saw some breakdowns today where it's like, bro, you're too long to feel like you got to cheat to one side.
So let me ask you this, because this is what they're saying in San Antonio.
He's tired.
This is the first
time.
This is the first time in his career where he's gone this far. And his legs are giving out on him.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing, that cheating is, I ain't going all the way over there. I'm not going all the way. I'm going to be right here. They're going to have to call that illegal defense on me. I don't know if it's true, but that's what they're saying down there. And they're saying, you know, how do you combat that? You don't.
No.
But it's just something you got to play through. But that's the thing a lot of times with young guys. You know, when the Hawks got blown out, that was kind of the deal. Well, not only were we outclassed, but, you know, maybe the young guys are a little tired. I don't know, but if that's the case, it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. 404-726-0929, that again is a Game 6. Mm. Knicks are just chilling, Mike, and waiting on the winner.
Yeah. By the way, Spurs 2.5-point favorite tonight.
Yeah, I said 3. I said 3.5. I just
saw it 2.5. So okay. I don't know if it's moved. You could be more current than I am.
Would you like me to put that down as we get ready for next year?
Yes. I'm definitely
betting. Go ahead and start on 1 again, Carl.
No, I'm betting the Spurs tonight. If I was a betting man, I am. I put money on the Spurs tonight.
No, they're at home. It's just.
I think the NBA wants 7.
I do,
and you're going to get 7.
I do, too.
Who's reffing tonight?
Yes.
Well, that's even a better question.
Did they get on that?
That's a better question.
I got 27 windows open on my laptop. So as far as the Knicks, Anunoby, and again, that was the big concern the last time. So he was able to get healthy. They're going to be rested and good to go. And now just imagine what does Coach Brown do to, you know, I don't think you overthink it. We'll do simulated games at the Garden.
No, they got time off once they swept the Sixers.
Right. So they just have to wait. And that was the thing. They got Anunoby healthy to go do his thing against Cleveland. This is going to be... I think it's no matter what, whoever comes out of the West, I think this is going to be dynamic.
I do too.
Style makes the fight. I think you get a great fight from both potential matchups.
Hey, we got to mention this because the Braves wrap up their series with the Red Sox last night, Mike. A disaster.
Yeah, Elder, you know, when he's got it up in the zone, it's very hittable. You know, it's not elite velocity. You know that. The sinker, and again, I thought CJ nailed it. They mislocated some pitches and they took him to task. And the Braves just can't hit. You know, we can still win the series this afternoon, take another 2 out of 3, but the bats are decidedly cool, and you missed that spark without Drake Baldwin in the lineup. And Ronald's got to get it cooking.
I agree. He's got to – I keep waiting for him to go on, like, this tear. You know what I mean? Like a two-week tear where he's just knocks the cover off the ball, hits multiple home runs, you know. Like, I just haven't felt that yet with Ronald.
Right. And I saw Mark Bowman had this tweet today from MLB saying that, you know, if you go back and look at all – he basically gave you plays with really slow starts, and then things got going. Like, when Soler got here, he couldn't hit for the first month and a half.
That's true.
And I was like – so I have that meme of the kid going, okay. Because I've just – Hassan Kim. Look, this guy already got – again, he's put on waivers, basically cut by the Rays last summer because they didn't want to eat that – wanted to deal with the contract. They saw we're not going to get performance out of this contract. The Rays ate that. And I don't know where the Braves are going to go, but I mean, he looks like lost in space, Carl. He has no plan at the dish right now.
The good news is today it's Chris Sale! Hopefully he'll get us back going. And again, they can still win the series and all things are right in the world.
Somebody, you know, we're sitting out there out by the bullpen, cheap seats, you know, can't believe we traded this guy.
Oh, I know.
For Vaughn effing Grissom.
And then there'll
be now on the Angels.
That's right. And then there'll be somebody going, but he was hurt. It's
like, we traded Chris Sale. We traded Mookie Betts. We had Bregman for a year. We lost Divas. It's like everything you could screw up, the Red Sox did.
What if? Right?
Right.
That's what that
But the Mookie
is.
Betts has got to be the dump. That's got to be one of the dumbest trades in the last 25 years.
I don't disagree, man. And he's put on a couple of rings out there in L.A. All right, coming up, we got a lot more to dive into. We will follow up on the big news from the Atlanta Hawks yesterday because now we got to talk about some meat and potatoes. And we're going to help you break it down in the 3 o'clock hour. Also, we'll get into what's going on around the NFL. As we said yesterday, the Falcons are not the only team in OTAs for the second week. A bunch of teams around the league are participating, and we're seeing all kind of story lines come out, Mike, including that storyline about when is this Eagles-Patriots trade going to happen? We told you June 1, right?
Post-June 1.
That's right. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet because of the money that's involved. And then also Jalen Hurts was speaking about his relationship with A.J. Brown yesterday, and you brought this up. Does the other guy have to help you if you're vying for the same job? Because that's what's going on in Minnesota. And look, they brought in Kyler Murray. Technically, Mike, for what they're paying him, he's going to be the star.
Yeah, I get Oren to find that audio because it is gold. And somebody put it together where they have Kyler Murray speaking, and then you hear J.J. McCarthy speak. And it's basically two completely different takes. And basically, J.J. saying nothing matching at all what Kyler Murray said about their relationship at the minicamp.
The energy isn't the same. The energy with Tua and Penix has been the same. That's the difference. When you're listening to those two guys talk about, hey, it's competition, but we're you know, helping each other and doing the best we can. Like, there's a different feel. We'll get into that as we go around the NFL in our 4th and 1 segment. Hit us up, guys, 404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a comment or two about Tua's job to lose, you call us.
Oof.
Tell us we're wrong, because we're not.